Right around the corner on Daddy on Board 94, we'll talk about dealing with temper tantrums, how to sell your child on Craigslist, and I'll ask the question, are you too fat to be a parent? All that and more on a brand new edition of The Dob. Welcome, parents bushed, bleary-eyed, and weary. I am Lightning Mike Quackenbush, a podcaster, parent, and professional wrestler, and your host here on Daddy on Board. We are brought to you this week by Duracell PowerMat, the wireless charging solution for those of us that live on the go. You're never powerless when you've got PowerMat. And by Gazelle.com, if you want fast payment, fair prices, and free shipping when you sell your smartphone or other gadget, don't sell them at all. Gazelle them. This week's podcast is also sponsored by Data Robotics, makers of the small box that equals big storage, the Drobo. It protects all your digital files against drive failure and is the only backup system I use. And by Cobra Electronics, whose ingenious electronic solutions just make your life easier. I know, because I use the Cobra iRadar system every time I'm on the road. This show could not be delivered free to you without all of them. Just last week on Daddy on Board, I talked a little bit about the obesity epidemic facing us here in the United States of America as we discussed at length a number of things going on in the fast food industry. An article that I read in the intervening week between last week's episode and this one claims that one-third of the American population is classified as obese. And while I don't do fractions, that sounds like a lot. Well, even our friends to the north, Canada, are getting in on the act here. Now, of course, only 11 people in Canada are obese, but nevertheless, one of those obese Canadians has been on the news quite a bit in the last 10 days. That is because a 38-year-old Ottawa father of two is claiming that a court's decision to take away his custody of his two sons, age 5 and 6, relates to the fact that he is obese. And this is certain to be getting a lot more play. You know, there was a similar case here in the United States that we had covered several Daddy on Boards ago, where an Ohio woman lost custody of her 219-pound 8-year-old boy after he was admitted to a hospital with breathing problems relating to his size. Now, you might be interested to know in an update to that, about 2 months ago, the mother in question was able to regain full legal custody of her son, who had been placed in the custody of his uncle, during which time he lost about 40 pounds. Incidentally, in a further addendum to that story, since being reunited with his mother, he put 9 of those pounds back on in the 2 months since that happened. So draw your own conclusions from that. Nevertheless, about this 38-year-old from Ottawa, whose identity, incidentally, has not been revealed. That's protected by Canada's Child and Family Services Act. It's a unique case in that the two boys, the age 5 and 6-year-old boys, had been removed from their mother's care after a suspected drug overdose that led to a mental breakdown. However, their father has a long history of legal problems, including fighting in public and threats. And for this reason, they were placed in the care of the Children's Aid Society, which is the thing they have in Canada. However, over the course of the last year since this has happened to him, the father's been trying to rectify his past and get into better shape. He says he's lost about 150 pounds. Although, you might kind of wonder, why is it that this is a factor in the court's decision-making process? Well, apparently it goes back to an assessment that was made by a clinical advisor about the custody case, which says about the man, quote, struggled with obesity for years, which impacts significantly on most aspects of his life, including his functioning as a parent. This assessment goes on to say, quote, he was short of breath or winded in simply walking short distances about the clinic, and he lacks both the mobility and stamina required to keep up with young and active children. It's the belief of this 38-year-old that that assessment from a clinical advisor is what swayed the court to take away custody of his children. Of course he is fighting this, but really to me, well, you can kind of see, obviously, the logic there that this is what the assessment said and how the judge came to his ruling. I think what the larger issue is here is, should this really be an issue in determining custody anyway, right? Like, once you kind of start that bureaucratic snowball going down the mountain, you can see where that ends up. But is any of this justifiable, or is this reasonable material to be contemplated when we're talking about a parent being separated from their child? Now, Something else that has really kind of come up of late, and it's cases like these that have shed a light on it, is the idea of using childhood obesity as a tactic in custody battles in court. When two parents are divorcing and they've retained legal counsel to dispute who has custody, in a recent case, a father accused a mother of being a fast food mom that led to the obesity of their children, and attempting to use this as leverage to gain custody of the children. So this is becoming an increasing factor, not just here in the American court system, because as you'll recall, I mentioned at the beginning of this piece, Ottawa is a place in Canada, and Canada is a place where there are 11 obese people. It's located to the north of the U.S. It's just up top there. So I'd like to know what you have to say about this. Certainly, you know, there's more than one take on this, and I'd like to know where you stand on the idea of the court systems weighing the factor of a parent's weight as it relates to their ability to be an effective parent and how that influences custody decisions. You can let me know what you think over on our Facebook fan page or even on Google Plus, where people sometimes go, or tweet me about it. I'm at The Daddy on Board. I'd love to hear from you about this. Now, over on our Facebook fan page, someone's already checked in on this exact story. Andrew Nolan said, "Wow, this is absurd. You can be obese and still be an amazing parent. You may teach your child lessons that you yourself didn't learn. Maybe you're struggling with weight as a parent and are trying to get back in shape slowly. With that said, I do hate seeing overweight children walking into a Taco Bell with their overweight parents, though. That makes me sick, but Child Protective Services shouldn't be allowed to take children away from their parents." Now, maybe Taco Bell, I don't know. Kentucky Fried Chicken, that kind of puts a smile on my face when I see them walking in there. I think, oh, I'd like that. I like that extra crispy. I would like that. Thanks for checking in with that, Andrew. Now, as it relates to the children here, obviously we're talking a lot about the legal system and about the parents being impacted by this, but what is the impact of this on children? And I want to say this about anything like this. In a legal proceeding, like a custody trial or whatever it would be, a custody hearing, I guess maybe is the correct phrase, or anything like that. I mean, obviously this case of the Ottawa family has been on the news. They were on CTV, which is the one channel in Canada. Any time that you point out or make an issue of anything like this, whether it be physical or, you know, psychological or developmental or emotional like that about a child, and you expose it in that type of public way where it is undoubtedly going to draw some type of derision or some type of ridicule or anything like this, you're really risking doing irreparable damage to the self-esteem of the child, who's going to feel shame over it, they're going to feel guilt over it, and who can say really, you know, the exact ways in which they will end up internalizing having that sort of thing broadcast in a public forum, or worse, made a point of contention between two parents. So I think above all, perhaps, you know, that is something that, to be considered, the overall impact of something like this and what it does and says about the way we regard the feelings of the young people of America. And we are all Americans, are we not? I warned you we'd come and buy you. That's the buyout's like a week away, Canada, okay? Hey, you know, in a second here, I'm going to tell you about selling your kids on Craigslist, because I know a lot of you are interested in that. While my profession as a podcaster lends itself to a somewhat sedentary lifestyle, my preoccupation as parent and professional wrestler means that I am always on the go. That's why I know so much about great show sponsors Cobra Electronics, whose innovations are out there to make the lives of people who live on the go like you and I do, that much easier. Every time I'm road tripping, I take their Cobra Eye radar system in the car with me. It makes me a safer and more alert driver. It delivers to me up-to-date driving hazard information. I also love the Cobra Tag system, a two-way locator that makes sure, thanks to my smartphone, that I never misplace my Cobra Tag protected item, like a laptop bag or my iPad carrying case, my briefcase, my keys, whatever the case might be. You can watch concise demo videos about all these great inventions of theirs and more when you visit their website, Cobra.com. Also, be sure to check out the specials section of their website, which gets updated all the time with deep discounts on their best-selling items and sometimes even two-for-one offers, so you can give a gift when you pick something up for yourself. Go see them at Cobra.com. Would it surprise you to learn that insurance companies find that stay-at-home dads are worth less than stay-at-home moms? Here's something. Fred, are you over that warm glow from Father's Day yet? Let's dispel that really quickly. In fact, it's the Father's Day Index that was issued by Insure.com about the way things are assessed for insurance reasons, like life insurance, for example. On average, fatherly duties for stay-at-home dads are valued at about $20,248 a year. This is actually less than they were valued at a decade ago. And they are far less than the average value of $60,182 that's attached to a mother who labors from home. That's a gap of about 40 grand, if you couldn't do the math there quick enough. Insure.com calculates how much fathers would be paid in wages for a collection of the jobs based on data that they collect from the Department of Labor, who, as you know, are great friends of ours here in the United States. So, for example, they look at what the rates are that, like, a teacher or tutor might be paid to help with homework, and they assign, you know, that to what dad does for if he spends an hour helping with homework. Or, since cooks, according to the Department of Labor, are paid on average $11.99 an hour, a dad who does some backyard barbecuing or grilling should be paid that, roughly. So, all in all, considering what they believe to be paternal responsibilities for stay-at-home dads in the home, they're worth about 40 grand less than what mom does. So, just in case you were getting a little too proud of yourself. You'll be delighted to know, though, that this reverses itself, the trend reverses itself, for parents who work outside of the home. Generally speaking, it's the males who win the most money when they're working outside of the home or are valued as much by insurance companies. It seems to be that the average right now is that a woman earns about 77 cents to every male earned dollar outside of the home. However, the great equalizer, of course, are the holidays. According to this year's spending trends, on Mother's Day, consumers spent an average of $152 on their mom, but dad, just $117. Sigh. That's all right. These are bee holidays we're talking about, right? Thanks, 4th of July. I'm so glad my bank wasn't open. You might be interested. A lot of people are asking me about this. They're saying, how do I get rid of my kid through Craigslist? And I'm glad that you asked, because this is sort of a cautionary tale story that I'm about to deliver to you here. The New York Daily News and a bunch of other news services carried this just over a week ago about a Texas mother who was arrested after attempting to sell her newborn baby in a classified ad on Craigslist. There was an interested buyer. A woman from Florida traveled all the way to Dallas, Texas after seeing the ad, which she said set the price for a four-month-old at $4,000. But the would-be buyer got cold feet then and called police. The police were able to locate the baby when managers of the apartment complex where the meet was supposed to happen, they went there to collect back rent and discovered that the baby was alone in its crib. Shortly thereafter, the mother was returned. She was arrested on charges of child abandonment, which is a felony offense, and then was taken into custody for questioning. Of course, to protect the baby, the mother's name has not been released. The woman allegedly wrote in the Craigslist ad she was looking for a great family for her son and wrote that I can no longer care for him the way he needs to be. I'm living in a women's shelter now, working with an adoption agency, and their fee is $6,500. Thank you and God bless. The woman from Florida, who still wants to adopt the boy, whose name is Eden, I believe, says she doesn't want to buy him. She just wants to give him a loving home. And seems to everyone else that she had been very honest about her intent. So what we can take away from this, one, that seems to be fair market price, right? $4,000 for a four-month-old, because she did attract a buyer from Florida. So she must have been onto something. I think the wording might have been a little problematic here. I'd also like to point this out, maybe to paraphrase a Michael Jackson lyric about if you can't feed the baby, don't have the baby. If you find yourself in a situation like this, which is a horrible place for any parent to find themselves, that's the truth, I'm not making light of the situation, there are adoption agencies out there, there are legitimate channels for having this sort of thing taken care of. If you were ever put into a position where that was the most responsible choice that you could make, there are, of course, proper channels to go through. While it certainly is all but laughable, the idea of putting a classified ad on Craigslist, it is also quite sad to think that someone would resort to something of that nature. And of course, that is not the right way to go about that whatsoever. There are all types of agencies and everything out there that are probably one Google search away to help you if you are in that type of situation, so that things can be handled properly and with the best ultimate outcome for the child as the priority there. About 4 grand for a four-month-old. Do you know that Apple rolled out this new podcasts app? Would you subscribe to the Daddy on Board podcast over there, please? I would really like it if you would. It's like a nice little purple box that shows up on your smartphone or your iPad or whatever. Check it out. It's just called Podcasts. It's a free download. I think it's going to be a new hot thing. I could use your support over there. I could use your support everywhere, actually. I'm going to go swimming through the blogosphere and tell you what I found in the Daddy blogs in a second. My pals over at Data Robotics are out to protect your entire digital life. That's what inspired them to create the Drobo, a backup hard drive system that protects all of your digital files against drive failure. And if that's ever happened to you once, or you even know someone to whom it has happened, you know what a disaster it can be, especially if, like me, you store all of your family photos, you've got the videos of your little one's first steps and everything else stored on your computer. That's why right next to my tower, I've got a Drobo FS running to make sure that all of my digital files, every single thing on my computer, is protected and backed up in the event of drive failure. Now, sometimes you may want to take everything that you've got over to grandma's house and put it on her computer, or maybe your work life calls for you to be able to pick up and go and take an entire hard drive's worth of information to the next job site with you. Well, the innovators over at Data Robotics are one step ahead. They've come up with the new Drobo Mini. It's the fastest portable storage array. It's got cutting-edge Thunderbolt and USB 3.0 connectivity. So whether you're working at your desktop shooting and editing photos or videos of your family, or you're just on your way to the next work site, this is the solution you've been waiting for. It's the world's first high-performance and protected portable storage array. Head over to Drobo.com right now to find out about this amazing new innovation that they have just unveiled. The Drobo Mini awaits you over at Drobo.com. The mom in Dallas who attempted to sell her little one on Craigslist was arrested on counts of child abandonment. And that is not the first time that we've discussed things like that here on Daddy on Board. In fact, just a couple episodes ago, we were talking about a father who left his two kids alone to play at a local playground while he ran out to run an errand, and a neighbor called the police, and he was charged with child abandonment as well. This has played a recurring role in the news. And just a week or so ago, over on the New York Times website, in the Motherlode blog written by KJ Dell'Antonia, she asked the question about when is a child ready to be left alone? How can you tell that they are of an appropriate age where they could be left unattended for a period of time, or to stay at home with another sibling in charge? Well, the truth is that very few states actually have laws concerning this exact thing. However, the National Safe Kids Campaign recommends that no child be left at home alone before the age of 12. Now, to some, that seems a bit overcautious. I can't really speak to that. My own son is 3, and I'm pretty sure at 3, he's not yet ready for that. However, the truth is, and I'm sure some of us can relate to this, that even, you know, in first or second grade, we would come home from school and be there unattended until our parents arrived home from work or what have you. This is not a wildly uncommon thing by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, the author of this blog even said that she would come home and check in with a neighbor and then wait for her mother to come home from college while she was doing student teaching. Some children, truth be told, thrive on that type of independence. Well, the United States Department of Health and Human Services has some guidelines for evaluating both the children and the circumstances under which they're being left. And I'm going to share them with you now, because as we've recently discussed, even in this podcast, the government has a say in the way you do your parenting. So, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services asks, are these children physically and mentally able to care for themselves? That seems like a good question. Mm-hmm. Does your child obey rules and make good decisions? Does your child feel comfortable or fearful about being home alone? How long will your child be left alone at one time? Will it be during the day, evening, or night? Will the child need to fix a meal? How often will the children be expected to care for themselves? How many children are being left home alone? Children who seem ready to stay home alone may not necessarily be ready to care for younger siblings. Is your home safe and free of hazards? How safe is your neighborhood? Obviously, these are all, you know, very subjective questions, but something to really consider, you know, if that's something that's upcoming, and whether it's even something short, like you've got to run out to the store to get something, or like a more permanent case where your child might come home from school an hour or two ahead of you from work and be on their own. Certainly, I can certainly recall anyway coming home from school on particular days, not all the time, and plunking down in front of the TV, waiting out the return of one or both of my parents. In fact, it was then that I discovered terrific afternoon programming like black and white reruns of My Favorite Martian and the outstanding 1966 television series Batman with Adam West. My son Elliot enjoys watching television, and whenever it's possible, I like to sit right beside him and watch the program with him. I don't like to leave him unattended in front of the television if I can avoid it. And my reasons for this are very simple. I think it's really important as parents that we know exactly what it is that our children are watching on television. And in your house, you might have certain guidelines about it, that they watch, you know, only so many minutes of television every single day, or they can only watch certain types of channels. Maybe you block other channels using functionality in your TV or cable system so that you can monitor or at least restrict what it is that they're able to see. My son, like me, is a great fan of Batman. And sometimes, when watching Batman, there is a tendency for fisticuffs to break out, and it's far better for me to be seated right beside him and remind him that that is the kind of pretend thing that can only happen on television, and not the sort of thing we would ever do in real life, because as you can imagine, it is very, very easy for little ones to be influenced by the things that they see on television. And sometimes if the result is simply that he becomes too rowdy, well then, we're not able to watch that program anymore. Now, the problem with this is not that I certainly don't mind sitting next to my son and watching television with him. I find it to be somewhat relaxing, except in those instances where we have to watch certain programs over and over and over again that make me want to claw my eyes out and burn my ears off. I've spoken about some of those programs on previous Daddy On Boards, and I want to tell you about a show that we discussed many, many episodes ago that has returned to my sphere after a recent collection of dads, including myself, were lamenting some of the programs on TV that make us want to scratch our eyes out and burn our ears off, like Caillou. All of us could agree only on one program, Yo Gabba Gabba, which is on Nick Jr. here in the United States, and probably in some other countries that we're buying right now, too. It took all of one episode for my son to fall in love with Yo Gabba Gabba, and he is hypnotized by it. I fail to see how it could possibly be harmful in any way. It is really quite innocent. There is a tongue-in-cheek quality to it. It is very much made to recall children's programming from the late 1970s and 1980s, yet it is unmistakably modern. There's a lot of references to, like, 80s video games in there, and current musical acts, no doubt due in part to the fact that the series' co-creator is the lead singer of the Aquabats, show up quite frequently on the program. It goes down easy, and I suspect if you haven't discovered Yo Gabba Gabba yet for your preschooler, you might want to give it a whirl, because they'll like it, and you won't want to kill yourself after watching one episode. So there's certainly that to consider. Hey, it'd be great if you could tell me what other daddy blogs or dad podcasts you listen to. And in fact, I'd love if you'd tell them about us, because I'm interested to do a little experiment here, and I'm going to need your help, Dob Bobbers, all right? Hey, in a second, though, I'm going to tell you about dealing with toddler tantrums and also about bribing your children, okay? When it's time to trade in your Apple iPhone or other Mac device or smart cell phone device for money, well, don't sell them, folks. Gazelle them. Go over and see long-standing Grizzly Productions sponsor Gazelle.com. That's G-A-Z-E-L-L-E.com. You might be surprised to learn they even buy smashed, soaked, or even dead iPhone models. They're going to give you cash for these that you can use for your next gadget upgrade or just put money in your pocket, which we as parents can always use for diaper money. Go over and see Gazelle.com. It'll take you just a minute to get a free estimate that stays valid for 30 days. And remember, every day that you hang on to these devices of yours, they're losing value. Well, don't lose any more time. Go over to Gazelle.com right now to find out what your gadget is worth, and you'll be assured of fast payment, fair prices, and free shipping. I know because I have dealt with Gazelle firsthand myself over the years, and I've found them to be exceptionally trustworthy, and the process couldn't be simpler. If I can figure it out, you can figure it out. Get going to gazelle.com. All right, let's talk about tantrums and squabbles, something that every parent's going to have to deal with at some point in time, at least once. I'm really quite certain of this. One of my favorite dad bloggers, Raul Colon, over on papaheroes.com, wrote a recent piece about toddler tantrums and how he has to deal with it as it relates to his daughter. A couple tips in this blog that Raul offers up about solutions for temper tantrums that I think are very helpful, I'm going to share with you, include one is to try to remove the temperamental child from whatever situation is causing the tantrum as quickly as possible. This seems like good advice, right? Also, perhaps keeping a tantrum journal so that you can begin to see patterns in what triggers this type of behavior may be a good option for you. In fact, Raul goes on to recommend an application called Evernote, which you can put on your smartphone or iPad, to keep track of it. I've heard of this Evernote. I think they were also like a 90s one-hit wonder band. Anyway, Raul goes on to mention that it is really important to consider these circumstances before removing the child from the situation. They are, is the child hungry? That is to say, perhaps, could this be best remedied just by offering a snack or something like that? Is the child tired? Do they need to be placed in a calm, peaceful situation or maybe be encouraged to nap to help quell what's going on? Are they frustrated or is this tantrum a plea for attention? And to that end, something that Raul's come up with, which I think is a great idea, is to very quickly teach your child help, or Spanish word, ayuda, so that they know to ask for some kind of assistance, even if they can't verbalize exactly what the assistance is. If they know that they are feeling frustrated, or they know that they need a little bit of attention, or they need your assistance with anything, to immediately ask for help might allow you to diffuse it quickly before it becomes a full-blown temper tantrum. And in those instances, of course, it's really quite important for us as parents to try to do our very best in that situation to remain calm so that everyone's emotions don't escalate and then the entire situation only becomes worse. I think these are great tips from Raul. You can check him out over on papaheroes.com. In the New York Times parenting blog Motherload, a little while ago they put this out to their readers, the idea of what do you do about when children squabble between each other. And they posted a video up about kids in the back seat of a car fighting, and how the author of the piece actually remedies this by offering her children Tic Tacs. If they're able to get through an entire car ride without antagonizing each other in any way, shape, or form, when the car ride is over, she rewards each of them with a Tic Tac, which seemed like a very small kind of thing. And I have to admit, at first, when I heard that, I thought, you know, maybe that isn't exactly the worst solution in the world. However, I tend to agree even more with this piece that one of the New York Times blog readers contributed. Contributor Ellen wrote this: "The risk of rewarding kids for doing what they should do anyway is that they will not be motivated to behave without that reward. That's not how the world works. In addition, using food as a reward or punishment can create an increasingly unhealthy relationship with food." You see how this whole episode is about obesity? "It's not supposed to be a reward or comfort, and many people with disordered eating have to unlearn that. I had a colleague who would give his son a special treat for getting in his car seat, but that shouldn't be rewarded ever. It's just what you do every time you get in a car. The kid quickly came to expect a treat for everything. Sometimes there aren't easy answers to behavioral problems. Sometimes parents just have to be firm or play the bad guy, take away a favorite toy or anticipated activity. And sometimes they just have to pull over and wait it out if they can't tolerate bad behavior and drive at the same time." Parenting coach checked in about this same exact thing and offered this advice: "While Tic Tacs might be a quick fix, they'll eventually try to upgrade these into bigger items like Slurpees." That seemed like a very specific example. Something tells me there's a parenting coach out there that has that exact problem with squabbling siblings. a Slurpee, of all things, is what they wanted. So there was also a technique that was supplied by, I didn't catch the name of the person who contributed this, but that in the event of a squabble, they simply turn off the air conditioning in the car. I don't know how well that would work. I would think that would make everybody even crankier. Even, maybe it's because we're in the middle of a heat wave right now, the very idea of that is making me cranky. Nevertheless, you know, whether or not Tic Tacs as a reward for good behavior or the greatest or the worst idea you've ever heard of, certainly it seems to work for the person who put this forth in the blog. And others chimed in with their thoughts as well. A very seasoned parent, I thought, added this in the comments section underneath. "What's happened to parental authority?" This 78-year-old writes, "I suggest that you pick only the most important issues, mean what you say, and don't waver. Good behavior should be rewarded. Thank your children for being good and give them rewards accordingly." This seemed like very sound advice from a seasoned veteran of the parenting sphere. This entire piece, if you'd like to read it in its entirety, and you can watch the video and everything else, is called "Should You Bribe Children to Behave in the Car?" That's over on nytimes.com. www.parentsbush.com if you're interested to read the full thing. Parents, it is unlikely to shock you that we are increasingly dependent on our mobile devices to accomplish everything we have to do in our lives. They are essential to our multitasking. And why is it that it seems like whenever we need our mobile devices most of all that the battery is about to die? Well, you're never powerless when you've got a power mat. It's a wireless charging solution that makes sure when you travel, you don't have to worry about taking along wire chargers. It makes sure if you go into another country, you don't have to worry about having an adapter. You don't have to remember to take the right plug in the car so you can use the cigarette lighter, because the power mat is completely wireless, and it makes sure that your gizmo is never without some juice. In fact, they've even got an incredible new wireless charging card that slides right into your smartphone, which is a total game changer. They're going to make sure that you're never stranded again with a dead mobile device. Go over and see our friends at PowerMat.com. Watch some of the demo videos they've put together that explain exactly how all their various wireless charging solutions work. And you can even put your zip code in and find out where the nearest PowerMat distributor is, so you can go out and get one of these wondrous things for yourself. They're PowerMat.com, PowerMat.com. All right, as promised, I've plucked some little victories. I've taken one from our Twitter stream, one from our Facebook fan page, and one from Google+. I'm going to read those to you in a second here, but I want to let you know where else you can catch me. Every Tuesday, I'm on the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe with my lifelong best bud, Clayton Morris. We talk about everything pop culture and a whole lot of other things on the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe. Over the weekends, on Sundays in particular, I'm on the Trending Show with co-hostess Natalie Morris. Yes, that's Clayton's wife. We talk about what's trending on Google and in Twitter every single week on The Trending Show. Also this Sunday, I am the guest of PJ Drummond on My Breakfast with Chikara. All three of these are great Grizzly Productions Network shows. Find out everything we do at grizzlyproductions.tv. Now, as promised, here are some little victories. Over on Twitter, at Kenneth Blake sent me this one. Our four-month-old slept in her crib next to the bed throughout the whole night. Thanks, Kenneth, for sending that in. And using hashtag little victories, it makes it so easy to find. Over on Facebook, Raul Colon, longtime Dob Bobber, sent in this little victory. My daughter can sing parts of Five Little Monkeys Jumping on the Bed, confirming she also knows the meaning of no. This is a little victory, Raul. Thank you for sending that in. And over on Google+, people are over there, you know. Chris Sitek, or at least I hope that's your surname, I'll apologize in advance for the butchery, sent me this. My 16-year-old daughter asked me for a PDF copy of the Federalist Papers off my iPad. I work in public education with 100 other college-educated staff members. I bet less than 10 even know what the Federalist Papers are. I'm so proud my children are thirsty for knowledge and independent thinkers. That is a little victory, Chris, and thank you for sending that in. If you send me your little victories, I might read them next week here on the program. Remember, I'm at The Daddy On Board on Twitter. I'd love to hear from you over there. Of course, drop by our Facebook fan page, is what I'd like to say, or plus us up on the Google at Google+. I'd like to hear from you over there as well. I'd appreciate your subscriptions. Drop into that new podcasts app on iTunes and leave me your 5-star review on iTunes, won't you please? I've been begging you people. I've been begging you. All right, then. Seems like it's time for me to get the heck out of here. I'll see you again in about a week with a program likely to be titled Daddy on Board 95. Adios, amigos.